God who does not change, a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that gives us great assurance, knowing that whatever we face in this life, whatever we're going through as a church, God is always there and He will never leave us. So keep pressing into Him, keep leaning into Him, submitting to His Lordship and His authority as we continue learning about Him through the Gospel of Mark. So now we continue our message series and get your Bibles ready. We're going to look at chapter 4, verses 34 to chapter 5, verse 20. We're going to look together two famous stories in the Bible, the calming of the storm and the deliverance of a man possessed by demons. Now, these are very famous stories in the Christian circles and stories that for many of you grew up listening to, the calming of the storm and the deliverance of a man possessed by demons. Now, there's many important and practical lessons today as we continue to see the story of Jesus progress and Mark the author revealing to us who this Jesus is. And so for today's accounts, we're going to see that the power of Jesus, He has the authority to still the outward storms that threaten life. And He also has the power and authority to still the inward storms that threaten and grieve our souls. So today I have an important message titled, At the Mention of His Name. At the Mention of His Name. Let's go to God for help. Father God, we pray for the following time. We pray for Your Word to penetrate into our hearts. We pray for Your Spirit to open our minds to what You have to say. Maybe for some of us today, Lord, we're still doubting. We're still in fear. Maybe for some of us today, we're still in unbelief. But Lord, we pray that You will do a mighty work and open our hearts so that we can be satisfied in You. Lord, we thank You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I remember when I was in fifth or sixth grade, back then, there was this one day at school when some high schoolers came into our campus. Now, when you're fifth or sixth grade, you're very intimidated by high school boys. Now, high school boys would used to come to our campus, and, you know, they kind of used to intimidate us little middle school boys. And back then, me and my friends were all quite scrawny. So in our minds, these high schoolers demanded respect. They were strong. They were tough. They had authority over us. And I remember this like it was yesterday. A bunch of high school boys entered into our campus and started to approach us and started to flex, show off their muscles, show their coolness. Typical, you know, bad boy vibes. Now, we didn't know what was going to happen. Maybe we were going to get beaten up, mocked, bullied. You know, maybe all three, right? We had no idea. Anyways, they started to chat with us. And were kind of showing off and asking us questions to intimidate us. And one of the guys said, you know, where do you live? What bus do you catch to school? Now, back then, it was really cool to catch the bus. All right? I don't know in America, but back in Australia, it was really cool to catch the bus when you were in like middle school and high school because you didn't have to ride with your parents. So I was like freaking out because my parents, they drove me to school every day, all right? It wasn't cool back then to be driven to school by your parents. Asian parents, they would have these like big sunglasses and a hat. And every time I would get out of the car, my parents would be like, Ben, 小心过马路, you know? And then like all the white parents like, what are your parents saying? You know, it was like, it was just really embarrassing. So anyways, it was just not cool to ride with your parents. So I kind of just quickly mumbled and I was like, I get dropped off by my parents. But my cousin David, he catches the bus. Yeah, my cousin David catches the bus. And these guys were like, wait, what was his name? I said, David, you know, David. And they're like, David, the guy, the big Asian guy? I'm like, yeah, he's a big Asian guy, yeah. And I was like, yeah, he's my cousin. And they're like, no way. He's your cousin? He's like the boss on our bus that we catch. And no one messes with David. He's got the power and authority to determine who will sit where in the bus. And I'm like, yeah, that's my cousin. You know, and these high schoolers immediately gave me this like bro hug. They shook my hand and like, you're cool now. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, I was like, wiping the sweat on my head. I was like, man, live another day. Probably won't get another beating. It was simply at the mention of my cousin's name, David, that demanded respect and saved us all from a beating that day. And as I thought about this story, we're looking at two famous stories today in the Bible. We're like the story of my cousin. Today we also learned that the person and the name of Jesus demands authority and respect over nature and over the evil one. So look at Mark chapter 4, Verse 35 to chapter 5, verse 20. I'll be reading it in the New Living Translation. So Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to chapter 5, verse 20. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus on the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Chapter 5, verse 1. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down to the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he had told them. Now here's what's happening. Jesus just finished a day of ministry. He gathers his disciples and they decide to go on a boat. Now imagine the disciples, they probably would have had no problem with that. They were professional fishermen. So it would have been very common to just go, relax, maybe catch some fish, have a bit of late night supper. So it's sort of like a rest from ministry. But something happens there when they were in the boat. A storm started to brew in the background. A storm started to kick in. Now it's said that the Sea of Galilee was surrounded by mountains with deep ravines. And so these ravines served as funnels that would bring about whirling winds down onto the lake. And so it just so happened that a great storm came about. And the waves were constantly crashing into the boat. So you can imagine being rocked from left to right, waters filling the boat up. The disciples started to get scared. And this storm must have been so serious that even professional fishermen would have been scared. Now, if you were a disciple, who would you turn to? Well, Jesus, of course. I mean, Jesus is the one who has casted out the evil spirit, the one who has healed the paralyzed man. So Jesus is not your typical guy. So they turn back and see what Jesus was doing. And what's Jesus doing? He's fast asleep at the back of the boat, snoring, and they're completely freaking out and they insist on waking Jesus up. You know, I remember many years ago when the young adults went water rafting. And we were water rafting, and it was like the waves started to pick up, waves started to enter into the raft. We were all freaking out, but we're looking at our raft master, and he was just like sipping water, right? Because he knew what to do, what was going on. So here we also see like these disciples, they're faced with a storm. They look back at Jesus for help, but what they see is Jesus taking a snooze, most likely sipping on water as well. Seeing their fear and being woken up by the disciples, how does Jesus respond? And the response of Jesus to a hurricane was simply, silence, be still. Immediately, there was calmness in the sea. And it's like the wind and the waves obeyed like a compliant child. You see, Jesus didn't call on a higher being for help or get the disciples to pray or anything like that. From his breath came and uttered the words, silence, be still. And immediately the wind and the waves obeyed. You see, the force of nature submitted to their creator. Jesus is here displaying not only his power, but he's showing the disciples that his power itself. You see, the sovereignty and the greatness of Jesus was fully demonstrated in the stilling of the roaring seas and the silencing of the howling wind. The force of the sea was muzzled as Jesus subdued it with a sovereign word of authority and power. Here the author Mark reveals to us that Jesus is indeed the Christ. He is God-man, and what is true of God in Israel in causing the Red Sea to part and causing the Red Sea to be still again, what is true of God in Noah's day when he caused a flood and it was gone, what was true of God in Jonah's day when the seas were going crazy and the howling waves and the stillness of the storm, is true of Jesus today. And this is shown through the Apostle Paul's letter to the city of Colossae when he referred to Jesus as being the one who created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. He is before all things, and in him he holds all things together. And so the disciples, they needed to learn this great truth, but not only learn it from a logical point of view, but also see it as a reality in their lives. Now, as I was reflecting and thinking about this part of the story, I can really say that I think many of us would identify with the disciples and feel their frustration. Jesus, I'm sinking. Maybe my depression hasn't gotten better. My relationship hasn't improved with my parents. My worries are still ever before me every time I wake up. Aren't you the all-powerful, knowing creator that has called creation to worship you? And often in our lives, we feel like, well, hey, we're on a boat that's drowning as well. And the God we believe in seems to be asleep or even absent. And growing up as a pastor's kid, I've seen and experienced a lot of things at church, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I've seen the pain and the frustration that is brought upon my parents and for me and my sister. And growing up, I always thought, God, where are you? If you love us, my family's drowning. We're sinking. The situation and the circumstances haven't gotten any better. And if God loves us, why would he let me and my family go through these hardships? Some of you may be feeling the exact same thing right now. If you loved me, Jesus, you won't let me sink. But here's what's interesting. Jesus responds to them, not by saying, well, guys, you know, I understand how you feel. I'm going to jot down some notes on how you feel. I can identify with your fears. He rebukes them and he says, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? And it's almost like behind this question, Jesus is basically saying to his disciples, all of you, listen to me. You should have known better. You've been with me for days and you've seen the secrets of my kingdom revealed. I am the Son of God. And my identity and power is without question. And so for the disciples, what they needed to know and experience was not so much from a mind level, but that what they truly lacked was a practical confidence in the supernatural work of God. This is with us, ain't it? We have these theoretical thoughts about God, head knowledge, but oftentimes when storms come in our life, it doesn't translate into a street level. Functionally, we're not there yet. But Jesus here wants us to have a firm and concrete belief in his identity, his authority, and his power. Now, going on in the story, we come to a famous account that many of us grew up at church have heard of. A story of Jesus not only calming the violent storm, but a story of Jesus calming and quick a violent storm inside of this demon-possessed man. So we're going to look at this story of the demon possession at Gerasene. Now, as Jesus disembarks from the boat, he immediately faces a person who is in the hands of demons. Now, what's interesting is that wherever Jesus goes, unclean spirits, the evil one, they get triggered because they know the holy presence is here. And so in this story before us, we see that this demon-possessed man caused him to be uncontrollable in nature. He had crazy strength. His mind was tormented day and night. He was like suicidal, cutting himself with sharp stones. The townspeople didn't want anything to do with him. They would lock him up, chain him down. In fact, if you can imagine with me, it's probably a sad scene. But Mark, the author, tells us that the devil that was inside of him referred to himself as Legion. Now, so this wasn't any ordinary demon possession. The devil that it was inside of this man went by the name of Legion. Now, back in those days, a Roman legion consisted of 6,000 foot soldiers, 120 horsemen, and technical personnel. So to the Jewish mind and to the readers back in those days, legion brought the image of great numbers, efficient organization, and relentless strength. And so inside of this man was legion, day and night being held captive by all these little devils. Here we see that Satan tried to defile the image of God in this man. But our Savior Jesus is a liberator. It was time for Jesus' power to be seen in the most unforgettable way. And in the name of Jesus and with his power and his authority, the army of devils begged Jesus to not be casted off into a distant place, but to go to a herd of pigs. You see, Jesus granted their request and the army of devils entered into this pig. The pigs went crazy and they committed suicide. They jumped off the cliff. You see, in the power and authority of Jesus, he restored the image of God in this disfigured man. He liberated him from the hands of the devil. When I was in Taiwan, for the first week, we lived in Taipei and were hosted by a pastor's family. Anyways, one of their members had their home vacant for us to live in because they went to Beijing to work. So we were able to stay there, and it was the same building as the church, because in Taiwan, churches can share the same apartment floors as households. So anyways, this family, they let us stay in this apartment, and we met with the pastors, and they said, "Oh, Ben, how this family came to Christ? It's a very interesting story. You want to hear about it?" I was like, "Yeah, why not, right?" And so this family, they were a typical Taiwanese family, ancestral worship. They didn't really believe in anything. Anyways, they had a young daughter who could never really sleep because at night, the daughter will always see another girl in her room, like a ghost. So she would always wake up and tell her mom, "姐姐要跟我玩, 姐姐要跟我玩, 姐姐一直在闹我." Basically saying, this older sister wants to play with me. She keeps, tormenting me. Anyways, and so day and night, the parents weren't getting any sleep because the girl just said, there's this older girl in my room that wants to play with me. Mom was at breaking point, all right? The whole family was not doing well. And so you can imagine, if it happened to Aaron, right, I probably would burn the house down, all right? But, so the mom decided, hang on. There's a cross outside of our apartment. There's obviously a church in our apartment floor. So she says, maybe I can go to these Christians for some help. So she entered into the church and told the pastors what was happening. And so the pastors, the church leaders, they went into the house, started to pray over the house, and started to just pray and fast and worship there. And then in the name of Jesus, they casted out these demons that were tormenting their daughter day and night. And that very evening after the church visited, the daughter finally got a good night's sleep. And the ghost never returned to look for her. And this daughter was delivered. And she was no longer being tormented. And Jesus came into this family home, delivered this whole family from the bondage of the evil one. And because of this event, this whole family came to Christ. Now they're working in Beijing and they're helping a church plant in Beijing. You see the testimony and the power of God. When I heard this story, I was a bit scared because I was staying in the room. I didn't have enough faith as his family. I remember the first night when they told me this story, I was like, oh man, that was very hard to sleep. Anyways, we see the life and ministry of Jesus unfold before our eyes. He reveals the secrets of his kingdom like last week, but today we see him reveal his power and authority over nature and the evil one. Now, there are a few important lessons I want to point out. And you might think today, well, Ben, you might point out the obvious. You know, Jesus delivers us from the storm. That's not what I want to talk about. I've been thinking about, I couldn't finish this message until like 12 a.m. yesterday night because I was thinking about this point. The first point I want to talk to you guys about in the life of our church is this. Storms are essential for growth. Storms are essential for growth. You see, Jesus had a full day of teaching. Tells his disciples to cross over to the other side of the sea. And suddenly a fierce windstorm arose. Now there's a crucial detail in this story that it's easily to be missed. It's Jesus who led them to this storm. This was not accidental. It didn't catch God off guard and be like, oh, what's happening now, right? Think about it. They're divinely ordained moments where God is working in the everyday circumstances of our lives to reveal who he is and who we are and how much we need him. Trials, tribulations, sufferings, and hardships lead us to God our Savior. Think about this. Most of you in your own baptism testimonies, in your own conversion of faith, have always referred to a hardship or a suffering or a weakness in your life that have caused you to search for God. Without difficulties, trials, stress, and even failures, we would never grow to be what we should become. Storms are part of the process of our spiritual growth. You know, I often think, people ask the question, Ben, why does God allow suffering? You know, after all these years of hearing different answers, I believe that God allows suffering for people to return to him. Sometimes it's through suffering and hardships that people humble themselves, get rid of the idol of self, and rely on God the Savior. You know, storms carry us through difficult times, and storms help us to grow in our faith. And as I thought about this, you know, the Bay Area has witnessed has not witnessed this type of storm before, right? I've heard from some of you the last time Bay Area witnessed these type of storms were like 40 years ago, or many, many years ago, right? So I remember that when the first storm came into the Bay Area, you remember there was mass flooding? You heard on the news, PG&E were down, sewage lines were blocked up, water pipes were full, traffic lights were out, and it was chaos, right? So many roads were closed. In fact, some people in our church had roof leakages. Because why? Bay Area wasn't ready for this type of weather. We have some of the best weather in this world, right? It's beautiful here. We live comfortably, and it's fair to say we all enjoy Bay Area weather. And so after the first major storm, what happened was that people started to know what to expect going forward. Oh, for the next storm, I started to see like sandbags being placed. People started to charge their portable batteries, prepare emergency packs, and businesses started to get ready for the storm. Why? Because they experienced it before and they knew exactly what to do. And so with all these storms that have been happening in the last couple of months, when we hear there's another storm on the way, Bay Area residents are like, so what? We've been there, done that. We're storm masters, right? We know what to expect. It's no big deal. Because we've gone through the storms. As I thought about this, so it is with our Christian life. We need to experience storms and chaos. Because as we experience them, we know how to better prepare for them going forward. And we know exactly what to do as Christ believers. We've been there, done that. And so when storms come, we are better prepared. And we are better for it. You see, instead of worrying and breaking down, we are leaning into what we know. Christ, the anchor of our souls. And the reality is storms are part of life from which no one can escape. There's no such thing as stormless seas. Chaos hits our lives and it can happen all suddenly very quickly. But what storms do is that it helps us to learn to trust in the Savior, Jesus Christ, who does not just deliver us from storms, but he takes us through the storms. And one can only find security with Jesus and a peace and calm assurance that comes from his life, his death, and his resurrection. Second point, we also need to be delivered by the power of God. We also need to be delivered by the power of God. As I was thinking about the story of the demon-possessed man, It's very easy to think, this is a crazy guy. Maybe it's for the mentally ill or people who are like addicted to drugs and other, you know, substances, whatever. But if you think about it, and as I thought about this point, we may see a mirror of ourselves in this disturbed man. We're actually, it's a mirror. We're looking in a mirror. Often we're beaten down by others. We're divided against ourselves. Often there's a war that wages within our hearts. And often a lot of us live depressed or full of anxiety and feel alone. And if we examine our lives closely and the different battles we face, we can actually see ourselves in this tortured man. We're no different. And we, like this tortured man, need deliverance as well. And the power of God is also applicable for us today. We're just as battered, we're just as bruised. And we constantly need to be delivered by the power of the gospel. Think about it. We're all possessed by something. I'm possessed by some things. And when things pop up in my life that are not favorable, immediately I go to my sense of comfort, which is often outside of God. It could be rage, temptation, intentionally walking away from God. Sometimes when I get frustrated over a situation, I almost turn into a different person. I'm at home, I'm nagging, I'm mouthing off. And Ruth oftentimes has to remind me, it's like, man, you're a pastor, man. It's like I'm totally possessed by something else. And you see, Satan blinds our minds. He can also possess us. Maybe some of us were possessed by lust, by temptation. Maybe some of us are possessed by pride and gossip. Some of us are possessed by the spirit of unbelief. We're all possessed by something. And though we may not rave on or carry on like this possessed man and be bounded by physical chains and cutting ourselves with stone, nevertheless, we are actually all under Satan's control. And you know what we need? What we need more than ever, the more I think about it, is not more seminars, more stats, more information. What we truly need is the power of God to work in our lives to help us to walk in greater freedom in Christ. And this power comes from the Holy Spirit. And we need a mighty work of the Holy Spirit in the life today in our church to take back control. That's why worship is important. That's why prayer is important. These are means for us to welcome the work of the Spirit into our lives. Don't underestimate the time of worship or prayer. Because in this time of worship and prayer, we're inviting God to move. We're inviting the power of God to be released into our lives. As we worship before and as we sing later, the power of God is coming down upon us. So I invite the worship team to come up as I slowly wrap up the message. In this time and space, we need to also be delivered by the power of God. And we need this power more than ever. And a lot of you have told me before, Ben, I can't get rid of this bad habit. I can't seem to walk in greater freedom. I'm still held bondage to this sin of lust. I'm still held bondage to social media, to expectations. Why? It's not like you guys don't know the dangers of social media or of pornography or the other worries in life. We know enough stats. We know enough information. Yet we're still stuck in these areas. Why? Because we're missing the power of God in our lives. You know, scripture is filled with how the power of God can change us. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who has called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 to 20, I also pray that you understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 to 21. Now all glory to God who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. I want to invite all of us to pray for the power of God to be released into our lives and into our church. I believe in faith that as we do this, our Christian lives will look so much differently, as we will have the power to go about our everyday lives and glorify God. So as I wrap it up this morning, we see again, Mark wants us to see through this chapter that Jesus calms the storm and he delivers the man. He's God who became one of us. And creation's chaos on the lake, humanity's brokenness on the shore in that demon-possessed man find their ultimate help and healing in this God-man. Jesus came to renew creation and humanity. Jesus is God who entered into our broken world. Jesus has the power of God to conquer the powers of darkness arrayed against him. And we live in a fallen world beset by the powers of darkness that are out to destroy us. Our faith is weak. We don't know who we can trust. But Jesus' power to calm the storm and in the deliverance of the demon-possessed man presents the solution to this human dilemma. The power of Jesus prevails over chaos and destruction. So may we close off by reflecting and declaring in our hearts, like the disciples, who is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? Who is this that even the demons shudder and fall at his feet? Jesus is his name. Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. Let's pray. Father God, we believe in the power that you will give us. We believe in the outpouring of your Spirit that you will give to our church. As we come before you and we witness your serenity and calmness over sea and over nature, we see your power and authority over the demon-possessed man. Lord, likewise, we pray today that you also carry us through the storm to show us that calmness and quietness can come from you. Show us that there is power and authority in the name of Jesus through every bondage that is holding us captive from walking out in greater freedom. Maybe it's that broken marriage, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's lust, our pride, our human achievements, whatever it may be. Lord, may you break us from that bondage, break us from that spirit of unbelief and to trust in you. Lord, we believe in your name. We believe your name brings power and authority upon this earth. Lord, we will continue to worship you, continue to mention your name at every corner. We will continue to mention your name in every sphere of our lives. We will continue to declare your name over evil and darkness. Lord, we will worship your name until you take us back home. Lord, we worship you and we come before you and we receive the power of the Holy Spirit that is being given to us right now. We ask in faith. We ask with boldness and courage, knowing that you will do this good work. Amen. At this time, I just want to invite the worship team to lead us in this song and just allow to listen to the lyrics and let them worship over us. And I just want you guys to think about the lyrics of this song. And this song is so fitting to speak into our lives and into the life of our church. So let's just listen to the worship team, and then afterwards, Ruth will lead our whole church to worship.